WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
This is Jackie Jackson, and I'm in a little room at the elementary school in Verdon. And with me are four sixth graders, right? And their teacher of last year, Rose Corgan, and also sitting in and will probably be silent, is Barbara Burkhart, who is our helper at Reading and Writing and Radio and wanted to come along and meet some of you kids and some of you teachers. And what we're here for today is that last year, when you were in Rose Corgan's class, you all read The Wind in the Willows, and you did all sorts of projects and things with them. And then Rose also did a project, and you were part of her project. So why don't I turn it over to Rose for a minute, and she'll tell us about her project with the book The Wind in the Willows.
Our group last year read the book The Wind in the Willows. Each student brought in his or her own copy. We read together, talked, and then every student was assigned to a project. They decided what project they would do, and all I had to do was approve it. They were very ingenious and came up with interesting projects, and I believe this was one of our successful learning units.
What prompted you to do this in the first place, Rose?
I did this because Jackie was taking a class of children's literature students to England, and I was going along, and we had to have a project for Jackie's class, and I came up with Wind in the Willows.
I haven't given the names of everybody yet, but what I'll do is ask each of you kids to give your name and then tell about your project, okay? We'll start with you, Alicia.
Hi, I'm Alicia Bumpus, and I'm age 11, and my project was a diorama. I did a diorama of mole and rat while the mice were singing to them, and I had...
See, that was at Christmas time, wasn't it, when they visited Mole's home, and he got homesick.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and so they went down underground and found Mole's home on Christmas Eve. Go on.
Well, I had the 10 mice drawn, and I had them sing. I had also... The only problem my diorama had that was Mole's nose. I did it too large, and... The paint soaked in on the back, and whenever I laid it down, it left a paint spot.
Okay, but moles do have large, waffly noses, so that it could have been a worse mistake. You also said you got a hold of a movie for the class to see, the Disney version, right, of Wind in the Willows?
Well, I got it for Christmas this year. I didn't get it for the class last year.
Oh, okay.
It was the Disney version, and it had a bunch of mistakes in it. It just took one part and one character, which was Toad. It had a big horse named Zero, and he played most of the parts, like the barge woman wasn't in there, and he played the jailer's daughter, I can't remember.
And it sounds mighty strange to leave out all those other parts and give them to a horse. Not exactly Kenneth Graham's book, right? This is an older book, by the way. It was written in the early part of the century.
Right.
And let's go on now to you.
My name is Matt Barham, and I did a project with a film strip. I showed the film strip to the class, which Mrs. Corgan got me out of the library. And it was a similar to the book, but not exactly like it.
Mm-hmm. Did you point out any of the strengths and so forth, commentary on it?
Yeah, part of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go on to...
Hi, I'm Mark Menarich, and I...
Say it again, Mark Menarich.
And I built, with a couple friends, I built a mansion, Toad's Mansion, and had a bunch of rooms in it where Toad and his friends would sit, like, for dinner. He had a kitchen and all this all the most of the rooms.
Bedroom.
Yeah.
Really a neat project. They did a marvelous job on that house. They really did.
Before we started talking on the tape for this program, why the group here was saying what a great house it had been. The other animals lived in dwellings that were more animal-like. Hole in the riverbank and mole was a hole in the ground. But Toad had a real mansion. He was landed gentry. He was a rich fellow. And so a lot of the book is concerned with getting Toad Hall back after the stoats and the weasels have taken it over. And Toad has had to go to prison for his reckless indiscretions. Let's hear from Amy.
Hi, I'm Amy Bickle, and last year, me and two friends, we used the overhead projector and traced pictures, and we read Chapter 10, The Further Adventures of Toad, to the class with the visual aids.
And had you practiced reading it ahead of time so that you handled all of his great words?
We tried, but we didn't get around to it.
Did you enjoy reading The Wind in the Willows, kids?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Each of you tell me one thing that you liked about Graham's writing style or about the book, okay? We'll go back to Alicia.
Well, the thing I liked is the words he chose for Toad. Toad seemed to be really funny. He seemed like when people were talking and everything, and he wanted to be the center of attention, that all he had to do was say one word and everybody paid attention to him.
Big words or...
Yeah, big words like...
You can't see Alicia, but she's puffing herself up and looking like Toad at this point. Toad was a braggart, and everything he did was bigger and better than anybody else. And he got himself into lots of trouble by his various passions, first for a motor car. Well, that was mainly it all the way through, wasn't it? He had been passionate about certain kinds of boats, and then for a caravan, which we'd call a trailer. But then once he got going on the motor car, and of course when this book was written, motor cars were brand new. So he took off in the motor car and got into himself in lots of trouble. Okay, let's go on with you.
The person I like was Badger, because he was kind of like the leader. He'd always say one word to Toad would always shut up real fast. Like that one time whenever Toad was going hysterical, he was going all over the place because the weasels and the stoats stole the mansion. He told Rat and Mole to leave the room, and about 10 minutes later, Mole came out. He was just calm.
Badger had that quality, sort of a fatherly uncle, avuncular is the word when you're like an uncle, of being the wise, older person. The other animals seemed younger in comparison to Badger. That was Matt that just talked to us. Let's hear from Mark.
I like Mole the best because he was shy and nice, never made fun of anybody or did bad things. He was best friends with Rat, and he let Rat always lead him, but he was a real good guy.
I'm particularly fond of Mole. He's always been, I think, probably my favorite, with Rat close after. Here's from Amy.
I don't have any favorite character in particular, but I like the way Graham described the riverbank and when Rat and Mole were on the picnic together in the woods, and the river and how they survived. Mm-hmm.
What would you say are the strengths of his description?
Oh, I don't really know. But
I think what she's meaning is that it's very rich and detailed, and you see the pictures, don't you?
Yes.
This is his writing style. He just piles on words and words and emotions and emotions, and you just are almost drunk with the writing of it. There's nothing spare. He doesn't stint the wonderful words, and I think that's what Amy's meaning.
You actually feel like you're right there with the animals, like you're doing whatever they do.
Here, let me just grab you a line here to illustrate it. You talked about the riverbank. Here's Mole's first view of the river. Suddenly he stood by the edge of a full-fed river. Never in his life had he seen a river before. This sleek, sinuous, full-bodied animal, chasing and chuckling, gripping things with a gurgle and leaving them with a laugh, to fling itself on fresh playmates that shook themselves free and were caught and held again.
All was a shake and a shiver, glints and gleams and sparkles, rustle and swirl, chatter and bubble. The mole was bewitched, entranced, fascinated. You see, he uses three words there. He could have gotten by with just one. And in my writing class, I might have said, you know, don't repeat. But he gets his effect by repeating over and over again, and then he gives a whole paragraph about how entranced, bewitched, and fascinated he was. Did you want to say something more about that?
No, I liked every part of the book. It was just a great book to read.
You've mentioned the characters, and you've mentioned his writing style and his descriptions. How about the subject matter of the book? What's he talking about? We can let Rose in on this, too.
Oh, well, I think we decided last year that all of the animals had human characteristics, and we attached those characteristics to various people we know. And we had a lot of fun talking about ourselves, you know.
Oh, yes. This is one of the delights of the book, that we can see some of us in all those creatures.
Exactly.
The leaderness of rat and thoughtfulness and badger's wisdom. We hope we see ourselves in that, but we also see ourselves in the reckless toad.
Oh, yes.
And in the shy, insecure moley.
Right, exactly that. Now, what I did as part of the project last year was to bring in the picnic hamper. And
these are the things we want to hear. Go on.
And I tried to put together as much in that picnic hamper as they actually had on their picnic on the riverbank. And so we went into our large room here that we loosely call an art room. It's not used for art purposes, but that's what we call it. And we sat on our own riverbank. And well, first we had to row to shore, remember?
Oh, yes.
And so we pretended we were in the boat, right? And all of us were rowing, and we hit the shore, and then we unpacked the luncheon, and we put all the food out. And I brought sandwiches, but I had them in quarters. And some of the things I had for them to eat, I couldn't find watercress, so we used parsley and butter instead. And I made sandwiches, and some of the children weren't sure they were going to try some of the things, but they did. Every morsel was eaten by the time we left. Everything was cleaned out.
Well, I love to eat in class, I love to teach Wind in the Willows because, you know, that's a great time for having all sorts of delicious food. So I'm glad you kids experienced that, too.
I remember the soda water, tasted.
Alicia is saying she's remembering the soda water. This is the British soda water that you got?
I got some soda water, and I tasted it, and suddenly my mouth felt like it just fell off my face.
Sounds like ginger beer. British ginger beer can do that to you.
I mixed it with Coke, and it still didn't make any difference, so I tried to trick people into drinking it for me. My friend Courtney took a taste of it, and she goes, "Where's my mouth? It is falling apart." It was just so funny. I just passed it around and put a little in each petty's cup. And when they took a drink of it, they all went.
You can't see Alicia's face, but she's got a marvelous descriptive face in this, too, of how hot it was. Well, Rose, were there any other projects that you want to mention before we go on with some writing thoughts?
Well, we had several, of course, that were art projects, and every one of the projects was a good project. I was real pleased with the children and their imagination and their creative ability in putting these together. Mm-hmm. So everything worked out well. We had a lot of fun with it, but I also thought there was a lot of learning that went along with it, you see.
Well, it's the kind of book that deals with so many different things. When I was asking about subject matter, I didn't follow that up, and I will now, which is that he takes you, for instance, Graham does, through all the seasons so that you get a tremendous feel for the circle of the year. And then he takes you through life and death, too. The losing of the child and the religious experience. You don't actually quite get to death in the book. And he brings up strange subjects that you don't ordinarily find in a children's book, like wanderlust, the chapter of the water rat, the seafaring rat, and Ratty nearly goes off with him. And then the whole homesickness of the chapter where they end up in Mole's home, and Mole is so homesick when he smells his home. And so there's, did I mention the religious experience?
Mm-hmm.
In The Piper at the Gates of Dawn, where the little animals catch a glimpse of the animal god.
Yeah.
So that not only do you have the marvelous story of Toad, every other chapter or so, you go back to Toad and his adventures, but you have these in-between chapters that are various aspects of living. So it's such a rich, rich book. Rose, mentioned before we get to writing suggestions about your experience in England on the riverbank and what you did.
We took a boat trip on the River Thames, and it seemed as if we were right there in Kenneth Graham's country. You could envision every one of the animals on that riverbank. And, of course, every day part of our experience was to have our own picnic at noon.
And it was a real ratty-moly picnic.
Yep, it was. It was a ratty-moly picnic every day. We weren't sure what Jackie was going to buy. We weren't sure where we'd be. But we had an adventure every day at noon for
picnic. Usually it was on a grassy bank.
Yes, it was. It was on a grassy bank more than once. And so, and on cathedrals, don't forget the cathedrals.
That's right, and in graveyards.
Graveyards. Mm-hmm. And so,
well, Rose,
it was a wonderful trip, and I'm trying to push the trip this year. I'm going again.
I know you are, and I'm delighted. Rose gave her report on the Wind
oh,
of the
I
Willows.
Did,
you
yes.
see, she did a project for my class, just like you kids did for her and for your class. And Rose gave her report on the Wind of the Willows. Part of it was what you kids did.
Yes.
And as we were floating down the river, on this lovely, sunny, blue sky day with the cows in the fields and no buildings in sight except an occasional lock that we'd go through.
Right.
And there'd be the gatekeeper, the lockkeeper, and the flowers that they had. And then Rose told us about the Wind in the Willows and about Kenneth Graham and Kenneth Graham's wife and writing the book for his son. And we had a wonderful, wonderful riverbank experience that morning.
It was great.
And we'll do it again this year. I'm hoping that we'll have a sunny day, too. We were lucky in our sunny days, because we really don't have as many sunny days in England as we do over here. But we hit it sunny last year.
We sure did.
did you guys do some writing in connection with the book?
Yeah.
What sort of writing did you do?
Well, we did the characters. We went and we made what we thought the characters were like. We had to do one on each character. My favorite was the one I did on Toad. He was so funny. He seemed to be my favorite of all the book.
I haven't done the opener yet, Alicia, but I'll read your opener. For the opener, I'll read what you had to say about Toad, okay? How about the rest of you?
I really enjoyed writing about the different characters. I think if anybody else should write about it, they should do that, or the whole book.
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen,
got
an idea?
I liked working on projects and selecting what we should do. I liked writing each paragraph on each character and writing in my journal about Wind in the Willows.
Mm-hmm. You wrote in your journal. Did you write in your journal too, Matt?
Yeah, we had to write our journal like, what was it, 3 pages every week?
Right.
And we had to write our Jackie Jacksons with it.
That means you're reading and writing on radio, right? Okay, that's nice. Right. You're Jackie Jacksons. I like that. Well, what I'm interested in, some of those kids listening won't have read Wind in the Willows when they're going to have their writing time. And so the first thing we should do is say, hey, this is a great book. And everybody's nodding. Read it. And better yet, read it out loud to the class in chapters, because it's a book can be enjoyed together and to be discussed. But then for writing suggestions, without even reading the book, we could tell you various things that you could write about. Some of them you've already written about. For instance, in Clever is Clever, you tooted your own horn, and that's what Toad does all the time. And Bright Eyes, The Swarm in May, I was wanting you to know what you were really enthusiastic about. Well, that's Toad, too. He had a great passion. But here's a bunch of ideas, and come up with some too. The whole idea, for instance, have you ever been homesick? And where were you when it happened, and how did it feel? And did you get over it? Did you get up and go home, or did you, you know, just have to endure it? Or what helped you in that? That might be an interesting topic that we've never written on before for reading and writing and radio. And the wanderlust, when did you feel like going somewhere else, getting out of your rut and taking off? That's often known as spring fever, too, although in Wind in the Willows it happened in the fall when the birds were flying south. Toad, as Rose and I were saying earlier today, had a reckless disregard for everything except his own will. When did you go ahead and do something with a reckless disregard? And what sort of trouble did you get into when you did the reckless disregard? But probably the main theme of Wind in the Willows is friendship. And we haven't written about friendship in a while either. And if you do write on that, don't just say, well, so-and-so is my friend. Tell about something, some specific action or concrete something that tells what a friend did for you or what you did for a friend or what showed that you were friends, you know? So it isn't just sort of, well, friends are nice to have and so-and-so is my really good friend. Have you any other ideas, Rose or anybody, for...
Well, we could write on the open road. For chapter two, you could write on your adventures on the open road, because Toad's adventure, his caravan ended up in a ditch.
Right.
So you could maybe talk about one time in the snow, like we're having here. It's very, very cold. You could write maybe one time your mom's car slid in the ditch, or maybe your dad's truck, or just something happened that you could have just walked and fell into the ditch.
Yeah, we all have experiences with the open road, and they can be pleasurable adventures or dismaying adventures, or adventures where people were hurt and so forth. So there's the open road, too. And try to include in your writing good, strong, descriptive words. Graham puts in all the pleasures of the senses. The books are filled, the stories, with eating and drinking and feeling and smelling and tasting and touching, all the listening. You hear all the things that are going on. So when you write your story, try to make it as rich as possible, whatever topic you take.
Use the thesaurus. Use that thesaurus.
Okay. I can't say that word this
morning. Thesaurus. That's thesaurus. A treasure chest.
Right.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Matt and Mark and Alicia and Amy and Rose Corgan, for being on this Wind in the Willows program today. Here's a quick P.S. Amy wanted to say something.
I remember last year when a student had a questionnaire that they asked the class, and one of the questions was, What did you think Kenneth Graham meant when he named the book The Wind in the Willows? And we had some real good expressive answers.
So when you read the book, try thinking about that. And thanks so much, Amy, and thanks all of you.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.